Now we're reading from Matthew's Gospel, and we're at the 8th chapter, please. Matthew's Gospel, and we're at the 8th chapter. Gospel by Matthew, and at the 8th chapter, commencing to read at verse 1, when he was come down from the mountain, that is, when our Lord Jesus was come down from the mountain. And the mountain is the great mountain there by the Sea of Galilee. It's the mountain that runs right up from the blue waters of Galilee. It was there he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Sat on that mountainside one day and tried to picture this whole scene. After he had preached to the multitudes on the mountain, then he rose up and he came down from the mountain. It says great multitudes followed him. I want you to sort of see the mountain, and then I want to let you see the multitudes. And you see the master out in front, sort of setting the stage for you now. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It's one of the simple, short, but thrilling stories of the New Testament. And as I set the stage for you, the mountain and the multitude in the background, there are only two actors on the stage, as it were. The Lord and the leper. And I want you to see them both. I want you to see the Lord in all his earthly humiliation. Just the humble, lowly stranger of Galilee. And I want you to see the leper, poor leper, perishing before your eyes this evening. Wish I could paint this leper coming up from the seashore, I think, coming towards the mountain. If I'm right, he's staggering on his legs. This man's almost at the end of the day. Yes, he's staggering. He's panting for breath. He can scarcely make it. If we look at his fingers, they are twisted. His eyes, they are dim. He can scarcely see. His cheeks are hollow. His bones are turned and twisted at the ankles, at the knees. Poor leper. He's perishing. Now, I want you not only to see this body of the leper. I want to sort of take you inside the body. I want you to see the boldness of the leper. You know, he's coming boldly to meet the Lord Jesus. Yes, it says, there came a leper. He just came, you know. One of the interesting studies of the New Testament is to find how sinners got into touch with Jesus. You remember the wise men came, or they were guided by a star in the sky. You remember that the man sick of the palsy came. Oh, but he was carried by four others, and they break the roof and they let him down. You remember that Andrew brought Peter, do you? Because these are different ways you can get into touch with Jesus. You might be guided by some light. And you might be carried by hands that are faith. Or you might be brought by somebody who's interested in you, like Tom Patterson was and the big fellow behind me. Or you may be even invited like Zacchaeus was. Jesus just stopped and looked up and said, "Come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And you know, the dying thief found himself right beside Christ. You can say fate led him, or you can say justice led him, I don't care what you say, but he was brought into touch with Jesus, either by fate, if you like to take the word, or by the justice of the hour. But I want you to get this staggering, dying, perishing creature. And nobody guided him, and nobody brought him, and nobody carried him, and nobody led him. He just came. He's on his own, that's what he is. Nobody looks after him. He just came. Mind you, everything was against him coming. The law of the land said he was to keep away from crowds. He wasn't to come. But he boldly came. Yes, the priest in the nation forbade him to come. He was to stand away off, 100 yards off, and he was to cry, "Unclean, unclean." But he didn't stand afar off, he just came. I want you to see not only the boldness that was in his breast, I want you to see the fearlessness. He was afraid of the crowd no longer. He was afraid of the priest no longer. And I don't only want you to see the boldness and the fearlessness, I want you to see the humbleness. He says, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him." If I'm getting the word worship right, he fell down. Two, seven, nine, left. Fall on the ground. He wasn't worried if the crowd laughed, or mocked, or gone. And now he was humble enough to just bow himself before the Lord. And I want you not only to see his boldness and his fearlessness and his humbleness, I want you to get the hold of his respectfulness. Because as he fell on the ground, he looked into the Lord's face and he said, "Lord." You know that? He fell on the ground. "Lord." Now, I want you to get this picture. There's something inside him that was unsure. There was an unsureness about him. I know the boldness is great, and the fearlessness is great, and the humbleness is great, and the respectfulness is great, but there was an unsureness there. He said, "It's glory. It's gone. You." Altogether sure if the Lord would really touch him, or if the Lord would do anything for him, if thou wilt. But I want you to get that right behind this unsureness there was a sureness. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was very sure about nothing. If you're willing, you can do it. You see, I'm resting with the picture of the leper setting the stage to use one of the exquisite as well. Now, I've got to go on with the Lord now, because that's what I'm responsible for, uplifting the Lord. And when this severing, perishing, dying, leper falls on the ground and says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean."
says, and Jesus put forth his hand. I want you to see the readiness of the Lord.
No hesitation, no asking his name, no looking for anything, no asking what city did you come from or what crowd or creed do you belong to. Not at all. You know, the moment that he fell and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, Jesus put forth his hand. I want you to get the readiness of the Lord. And I want you to get this. There's a fearlessness about the Lord. The Lord touched him. I want you to get that. He touched the leper. I want you to get this bit absolutely sure, that no man in the world, certainly no man in Palestine, would have touched the leper. Oh no. Actually, the law said that if you should touch the leper, you would be unclean. You see, some of the critics of this book say, the Lord must have been unclean that day. Oh, not on your life. Oh, no. You see, the power that was within the Lord was so mighty and so wonderful that the very moment of touch cured the leper immediately. Oh, no, he was healed immediately. Old fellow said to me, he must have been defiled. What are you musting about? I said, let me read this book to you. This book says, such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled is the word. In case you never read it before. Oh no, it never touched him. He cured it. That was the wonder of our Lord. He wasn't afraid of it. You know, he lifted his hand and he touched the leper. You can see the readiness. You can see the fearlessness. And then he said, I will. Can you see the willingness? Because he was absolutely willing. You know, I would like to take you through a whole series of I wills in this book. All spoken by Jesus. You see, he just looked at the leper and touched him. He said, I will be thou clean. I'm willing to cleanse you. You remember when he spoke to the crowd? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when Jesus says, I will make you clean, you can depend upon it. You will be whiter than snow. When Jesus said, I will give you rest, you can depend upon it. It will be rest with a capital R. I'm not taking the time to go into all these. But when Jesus says, I will, the thing's right. You know, I not only want you to see the willingness and the fearlessness, I want you to see the powerfulness. You know, the moment that he put out his hand and touched him, immediately, can't clap my hands quick enough, immediately, he was cleansed. Just like that. Now that's painting the picture of the leper and the picture of the Lord. But I want to do something for you, you see. This book's a very wonderful book. Because if we go through this book, you will find there are a whole lot of different kinds of fields in this book. You see, I teach a crowd of young preachers, some of them here this evening, and I was telling them not so long ago about the different fields of Scripture. There are prophetical fields in this book. I can go through the prophecies right from Genesis, right through to Revelation, and I can find you all these great and mighty and wonderful and thrilling prophetical passages. And there are prophetical pages. pages in this book. I call them fields. And then there are typical fields in this book. Things that typify the cross work of Calvary. The peace offering, the sin offering, all the offerings. And then, of course, the Ark of the Covenant and the death of Isaac and so on and so on and so on and so on. And you can build up a whole series there on typical teaching. When I took the class here for about 9 weeks on the high priest's garments, it was all typical teaching. When I took the class for about 15 weeks on the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was all typical teaching. And there is not only prophetical fields and typical fields. Now you're bound to know this, there are parabolical fields. Because our Lord, He dealt with parables. Wonderful parables. And the parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Don't you know that? Now, there's something else that the young preachers don't know just as quick as these ones. They thought to know about the prophetical, and they thought to know about the typical, and they thought to know about the parabolical. But the allegorical is different. That's a different field altogether. You see, the parabolical is an earthly story. It's just a story that's told, but it's got a heavenly meaning. But an allegorical is a real historical fact with an underlying spiritual lesson. You see, when I'm reading out of Galatians, it says this: Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid. If that was Hagar, and her son was Ishmael, and the other by a free woman, that was Sarah, and the son was Isaac. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh, but he who was of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? That's what it says here. I'm making it up, you know. Because behind real true history, sometimes there's a spiritual lesson. Well, that's where I'm going to tonight. This is a real historical incident. Only there's a spiritual lesson behind it. I want you to get that. You see, the leper coming down the road, perishing, dying. He hasn't a hope in the world, only Christ. Well, he pictures me before I was saved. You know, sometimes I almost forget myself that when I was a young fellow, I became a drunkard. Mind you, when I say this, I mean every word of it. I'm writing my life story. It's almost finished. I think the books will be here in a week or two. And I had to be very careful about this. From I was 16 years of age, just turned 16, until I was 24, I never came home a night sober. Not one, you know. Big fellow behind me talks about breaking his mother's heart. Yes, I think I must have broken her heart about 100 times over. Yes, I was a poor leper, wasn't I? And I made up my mind 1,000 times I would leave the booze, but I couldn't do it. It beat me. It was like leprosy. You can't throw it off, you know. I needed somebody to deliver me. I needed to be saved. So you can see the allegorical beginning to work now. Because I was a poor, lost, drunken sinner. Perishing sinner, hopeless sinner, just like the leper was. And you know, the Lord Jesus only had to put out his hand to save the leper. He only had to leave the mountain and come down to meet him where he was. I'm afraid it took a lot more for me. I'm afraid he had to put out both hands. I'm afraid he had to hang on the cross. I'm afraid he had to leave the heights of glory and come to the dust of death at Calvary. Had to step out of heaven and die on the old blood-stained rugged cross and make that one sacrifice for sins forever and shed his precious atoning ruby blood before I could be cleansed. It's a mighty story, isn't it? You know, he had to come to where I was. To where I lay in wanton shame. He had to come and knock at my door. Oh, you remember, I've told you this before about Holman Hunt. You know the story. He painted the great painting of Christ at the door. And listen to this, you know. This came into a house at Christmas once, on the back of a calendar, this picture of this man at the door. And the toddler in the house got the calendar and looked at it, watched it, studied it. His father's reading the paper over there, looking at the horses. He said, "Daddy, who's the man?" He says, that's the Son of God." And the wee toddler said, "The Son of God? Yes, the Son of God." Took it away, you know. Studied it up. And another while at it, and then come back again. He said, "What's he doing, Daddy?" He says, "He's knocking at the door. That's what he's doing. He's knocking at the door, knocking at the door." Went away with it. Had another look at it. Studied it up. Came back again. He said, Daddy, will they not let him in?" He says, "No, they won't let him in. They don't want him." Then he grabbed his daddy. He said, "If he knocked at your door, will you let him in?" That's different, isn't it? He hit him now. "Go away and play." Then Mummy came in. Mummy got him ready for bed, and when she was tucking him up, he just put this picture out. He says, "See that, Mummy? That's the Son of God, you know. He's knocking at the door. I won't let him in. Mummy, would you let him in?" Mummy backed out, crying. She was brought up among the people known as brethren. She went out to the landing on the stairs and stood against the wall and cried. Then got down on her knees and opened her heart and said, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let him in." Then she dried her tears and went down the stairs and opened the door and John has the paper up. And she knew there's something going on behind the paper. She said, "John, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm crying. The wee fella cornered me about the Savior. He asked me, would I let him in, and he annoyed me." He said, "John, I'll beat you to it. Let him in at the top of the stairs. When are you letting him in? You're perishing sitting there, you know. If you haven't Christ as your Savior, you're like a leper, can I tell you that? You'll go on to hell and be lost and damned forever. And yet he left heaven for you, died on the cross for you, shed his blood for you, rose again. He's at your door tonight. Let me tell you now, he's at the door, madam. You'd rather go on with your empty religion, wouldn't you? You'll go to hell with your empty religion. What do you think God's Son came from heaven for? The only chance you have in the world, the only chance the leper had in the world was Jesus. Will you let him in? May God help you to let him in this evening.